I shall now remove for you the great veil that stands between heaven and earth, the darkness that hides man from the light. Close your eyes. Be still. So I closed my eyes. I was still. Son, said the Father, an invisible pathway leads to my kingdom on earth. It is available to all. Yet few walk in it, because it is hidden from the human brain. It is the goal that I have established for every soul. Whoever finds this invisible pathway is one with God and makes transition into life eternal. Whoever fails to find it is separated from the tree of life and must remain in the deadness called mortality. Is that clear? That is clear, Father, I replied. Son, said my father, the great veil that prevents man from finding the invisible pathway to eternal life is the identity of the virgin babe born to Mary in Bethlehem. Do you know the identity of the babe? Instantly, I replied with great confidence, yes, Father, I do. The virgin babe is the Christ. Son, said my father, you are mistaken. You do not know the truth. The virgin babe named Jesus is not the Christ. As long as you continue in that mistaken belief, you are stumbling in the darkness. And you will not find the invisible pathway to transition. Again, I repeat, the virgin babe is not the Christ. But Father, I stammered, I am puzzled. I do not understand. Then listen carefully, my son, for I will now give you three important clues to help you remove the false belief that blocks your entry into the path of light. Here is your first clue. Christ is invisible. Jesus was visible. Here is your second clue. Christ is infinite. Jesus was finite. Here is your third clue. Christ never ages. Jesus aged from infancy to adulthood. Now, son, if Christ is invisible, infinite, and ageless, and Jesus was finite, visible, and aging, can they be one and the same? No, Father, they cannot. Good. Now, son, if you look at something that cannot age, but you see it age, something infinite, but you think it is finite, something invisible, but you think you are seeing it, what are you really seeing? I am seeing an image in my own mind. Son, said my father, you have discovered the identity of the virgin babe named Jesus, whom men have worshipped for the past 2,000 years. They have worshipped an image in their minds. And the result of that tragic blunder can be seen in hospitals and under tombstones around the world. Taught by religion to pray to an image in mind, they have placed their total trust in a mirage. And when the mirage did not answer their prayer, they redouble their efforts, always fooled by their own brains, always seeking fulfillment from their own brain power, or from someone or something in the outer world. But the illumined do not seek material or mental betterment. The mirage does not tempt them. They seek me. And they know where to find me, because they have understood that Jesus was not a man, but an image. And knowing this, they have understood. They have really understood the magical purpose of the image called Jesus on earth. Now, son, ask yourself, can an image speak? Can an image perform miracles? Can an image feed the hungry, heal the sick, and raise the dead? If you look in the mirror at your own image, you find your answer. If you smile, your image smiles. If you frown, it frowns. If you move your right arm, it moves its right arm. The image simply repeats whatever you do. Does it surprise you, then, to learn that the image called Jesus was completely controlled by me? That it had no power of itself? That it could do only what I did first, and that it could only give to the world the words that I put in its mouth? So now, son, you know the great secret. All men in the world are images. They do not realize that they are really robots, totally controlled by the world mind. They are mortal images, finite, temporary, and imperfect. No matter how intelligently they seem to govern their lives, they are cut off from life itself by their own false brain power. And ultimately they die. The false brain can no longer hold the illusion of life. The false image of form must dissolve. Into this world of mortal images came another image, an immortal image, a divine image, an image that looked exactly like mortal images. But this was an image not controlled by the world mind, but controlled by the Infinite Father, an image that could speak the words of the Father and perform the acts of the Father, an image that could walk among the mortal images, be accepted by them as one of themselves, communicate with them, and teach them immortal words and immortal deeds. There is the great miracle of the virgin birth. Mary, lifted into the soul realm, brings forth this divine image to walk among human images, first to impart to them the divine word at a level they can accept, and then, having made them aware of the power of the divine word, to show them where to find the divine word within themselves. Now, son, bearing in mind that I, the Father, spoke every word that came from the mouth of Jesus, I want you to learn something marvelous, something beautiful, something you will remember for the remainder of your years on this earth. Now gently close your eyes. Release yourself from the concepts of the brain. Just let go. Really, let go. Let go of all the mental barriers. Find my peace until you are alert but relaxed, until you have an open mind, uncluttered, without concepts, without criticism, without judgment. And now let the virgin babe itself tell you who it is. Through the words that I, the Father, placed in its mouth. Listen carefully while you abide in the sacred stillness of your own soul, and you will clearly understand how, through the image called Jesus, I taught higher wisdom to those dear ones on earth who are ready to hear. For these are my words, heard by men through the mouth of Jesus. You do not know me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. The words you hear are not mine. I speak nothing of myself. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. The Father has never left me alone. The Father sent me. I and the Father are one. The Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Why callest thou me good? I can of mine own self do nothing. The Father within doeth the works. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. I am not of this world. Before Abraham was, I am. I am from above, you are from beneath. Where I am, you cannot come. That which is born of spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. I who speak to you am he. If you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I am the light of the world. I am the giver of life. I am the resurrection. Who eats my flesh will never die. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. My kingdom is not of this world. Abide now for a few moments until you have accepted that through a divine image, God spoke every word in the Bible that came through the mouth of Jesus. For that is the truth. When you understand it, your knowledge of the Word of God will deepen. We can discover this easily for ourselves now if we examine some of these precious words, and you'll discover that they yield a new meaning. Why callest thou me good? Of mine own self I can do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the works. Your human brain sees Jesus heal the sick, feed the hungry, raise the dead. But Jesus himself here informs us that we are blind, hypnotized, that we are fooled by our five senses and by our brain. Jesus says he is not performing these miracles at all. He tells us that if we had spiritual vision, we would see that where he seems to be, there is an invisible identity actually performing the great miracles. And he calls this invisible identity the Father within. We cannot afford to pass by these words any longer. At this point, the invisible self is speaking through Jesus, performing miracles through the visible form of Jesus. And it is saying to you and to me and to all who walk this earth, if you seek Christ consciousness, you must now make an important distinction. You are looking at the invisible self, but your eyes are seeing a form which is visible called Jesus, which is an image in your mind. Again, through this image called Jesus, we hear, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So here we receive an astounding bit of information. That Jesus is not speaking the words, but the Father within, the invisible self, is speaking the words. The real speaker throughout the entire New Testament is this invisible self, the Father within, and this is also the real doer. And whatever it wants to say or do, it says or it does within, in a higher dimension, an invisible dimension. And through a miracle that man does not yet comprehend, what it says or does in the higher dimension appears outwardly in this dimension called this world as an action or a statement by Jesus, who is the divine image. Do you catch the incredible, amazing wonder of it all? And then to make certain that we really understand and accept this astounding truth, the invisible self speaking now says through Jesus, making Jesus say these words, My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Jesus is saying here, I am an effect, not a cause. There's no power in the image called Jesus. All power lies in the invisible self. I, Jesus, have no power. I can do nothing. I am only the image in the looking glass. If the Father speaks, I speak. If the Father touches the leper, I touch the leper. If the Father sees no blindness, I touch the eyes of the blind and they see. We learn here that because Jesus is powerless, he cannot be the Christ. For Christ has all power of God. Son, all that I have is thine. All my power is thine. But Jesus is forced by the invisible self to declare that he has no power. He can do nothing. He actually confesses he is not the Christ. But he is an image, outwardly expressing the action of the invisible self. And in these inspired words, the mask of centuries is lifted, and our attention is focused on the power of the invisible self, which we are to learn is the self of our own self. Then, in words unmistakable, words that should be heard and understood by millions, millions, and millions of religious worshippers everywhere who have turned away from Christ for thousands of years, who have been fooled by their senses into following an image. These are the words: Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. Artists are going to paint pictures of Jesus. Sculptors will immortalize Jesus in bronze and marble. Poets will describe the great love and compassion in his face. But you, who wish to enter heaven on earth, you may not be fooled by physical appearances. Quote, you do not know me. And until you know me, the visible Jesus, as an image, you will not seek the invisible Christ who is speaking every word that you think I am speaking. If I go not away, if you do not get rid of this image, the Comforter will not come unto you. If you still worship the image, how will you find the Christ? Then listen again. As the infinite self continues to reveal truth after truth to make you free, I am from above. You are from beneath. Where I am, you cannot come. These words were spoken to the Pharisees. And of course, they were baffled. They were enraged. They were confused. They were insulted. Here he was, a man, Jesus, standing right in front of them. No different than any other man. He had a face, two eyes, two ears, a mouth, a nose, a chin, a body. What did he mean? He was from above, and they from beneath. Why, this man was a thorn in their sides. But the words were true. And the words were not spoken by Jesus. They were declared by the invisible self, who was telling mankind that there are two kinds of images. There's the divine image, under the control of God, Jesus, and the mortal image, under the control of the world mind, the human man, the human woman, the human child. The divine image is from above. The mortal image is from beneath. The image from above can never be sick or die. The image from beneath is always sick. Much of the time it never knows why. And it always dies without knowing why at all. Now it's impossible for a mortal image to become a divine image. Don't even try. That's the meaning of where I am, you cannot come. Where the divine image is, the mortal image cannot come. So when religious worshippers are taught that they can go to heaven when they die, they've been mistaken. They've been misinformed. No mortal image can go to heaven. That's why we're not studying how to be better human beings in the next 20 years. We're learning how not to be mortal images. We're learning that if we are from beneath, we cannot enter heaven, which is a synonym for eternal life. Now, an even stranger thing happens. The invisible I am, which talks to mankind through the visible image called Jesus, wants us to know that it is not in the body of Jesus. And so it says, I am not of this world. You are looking at the image of Jesus. It is in this world. But I, who speak to you, I who perform the great acts, I am not in this world. Therefore, I am not in this body you call Jesus. Christ is not in Jesus. It's a big shock, isn't it? And Christ is not in you. Christ is not in anyone. Christ is not in any image. I, Christ, I, the Father within, performed miracles on earth long before Jesus appeared in this world. I perform miracles through many other images. through Buddha, Krishna, Moses, Lao Tzu, Abraham, Elijah, all expressed my words and my deeds. All expressed my grace and my power. All by deeds showed forth the glory of the one invisible self that I am. Not only before Jesus, but after Jesus, many way showers reveal the presence and power of my perfect kingdom on earth. They were not people, although they appeared to be. All were transparent images who had risen above human brain power, out of mortal sense. They had discovered the invisible giver of life. They didn't seek me in the sky. They knew that space does not contain me. They didn't seek me in their bodies, for they knew that the infinite is indivisible. And they didn't wait for me to return to earth, as religion teaches. Instead, they laid down their own sense of human life and accepted me, the Father within, as their own spiritual self. That was their secret. They accepted my presence as their presence. They were Christ conscious. They made a choice between my infinite self and their own mortal bodies. And in this manner, they stepped out of the world mind, out of being mortal images, limited to material laws. And they totally trusted the one indivisible, invisible self of the universe to be their only self everywhere. You are either a divine image or a mortal image, and you have the choice. If you know that I, Christ, am in your room at this very moment, that I, Christ, am your only body, that I, Christ, will never die, that I, Christ, am your only life, your only self, you will release yourself from belief in your body image, and you will stand confidently in your invisible divine image, which has no boundaries. You will not know yourself after the flesh, but you will know yourself after the one invisible spirit. And I, who have been yourself since before the world began, and who will be yourself when your false mortal sense has left this world, I will reveal through you my glory, my love, my power, and my grace. You have always been invited to join with Paul in saying, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. Now again, look at my words spoken through Jesus. Before Abraham was, I am. Now you must learn to accept my words in a special way. You know, Jesus did not say them. I, the invisible self, which is yourself, said them. And so do not let the invisible self be a stranger to you. Is the invisible self far away? Is there a second self beside the invisible self? Am I not your invisible self now, right where you are? Then who spoke the words through the image called Jesus? Your invisible self. Not the invisible self, but your invisible self spoke the words. Do you accept that? If you do accept that, do you see how ridiculous it is for you to ignore the words of your own self? Do you not see that every word from the mouth of Jesus is coming from your own infinite self, translated through Jesus into this earthly dimension, so that it can be understood by your mortal sense? Is this not a miracle? That your above self can educate your beneath self. Is it not miraculous that your own invisible self through Jesus has been presenting words and miracles through centuries to lift you out of your finite shell into life without end? So when you hear, "Before Abraham was, I am," when you know that your own self is making that statement, you are really being lifted above human brain power. For your brain thinks that you were born in time and you'll die in time. But your self says no. You are eternal life before Abraham was. And so you must accept the words of yourself and do something about it. You must stop. You cannot go on ignoring these important words from yourself. And you must realize that your brain has fooled you. It has given you a false sense of self and time. And your brain, which cannot know these things, must now say to yourself, "I accept what you are telling me. It is true. Before Abraham was, I am." Just imagine. The world thinks that I began life years ago as an infant in a cradle. The only self I am is that which was pre-existent to the world, and that which will always exist. And each of us who do not accept this and live out from that knowledge are not in Christ consciousness. Even if we think we understand it, but only read it and tuck it away in our intellect for future use, by that very removal of the livingness of it here and now, we deny that we are that one invisible self, and we become Christ unconscious, unconscious to Christ. And that's the cause of anything that goes wrong in our lives. It's the cause of a heart attack. It's the cause of a bad business. It's the cause of a back sprain. It's the cause of any ailment or any problem. It's the cause of error, and the only cause of error in the world. To be unconscious of Christ is to be dead, because Christ is life. And we can be unconscious of Christ for a minute or an hour or a year. Wherever the gap of unconsciousness to Christ exists, we will suffer. So to be conscious of Christ, not unconscious, we must learn how to let these words of Christ take us beyond our own limited brain power, beyond our own human thoughts, beyond the mortal images that we call bodies, into a realm of truth known only to the one invisible self. Now, earlier in this lesson, on this side of the tape, the second half, we had, I think, 23 or 24 sayings of the Christ, beginning with, "You do not know me," and ending with, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, this is very important. For the next 24 days, 23 or 24 days, whichever it is, we have an important task. Each day, if you will take another one of these Christ sayings into contemplative meditation, realizing that they are not the words of Jesus, they are the words of your own infinite invisible self, and that you must let your lower self, the brain self, accept the words of the higher self until they are your truth, so that you can live in that truth. If you will do that, you will see why this is your year of deliverance. Now, it isn't too easy. It's often a bit confusing. And one of the reasons is that the invisible self will often use the word I to refer to itself. And then it will turn right around and use the word I to refer to the image called Jesus. And you won't know which I it means unless you are able to look at it with the knowledge that it is one or the other. For example, I am the life. Now, that does not mean Jesus is the life, but it does mean that I, your invisible self, am the life. Now, when you get to the other statement, I can of mine own self do nothing, it does mean Jesus. Jesus can do nothing, meaning the image can do nothing of itself. And then, of course, you will know why Joel had to have a lesson called The Two Ways of I, which you will find in your Mystical Eye tapes and in Joel's book, The Mystical Eye. And so remember, whether the words refer to Jesus or to your own invisible self, the real speaker is always your invisible self, which is Christ. And you cannot ignore the words of Christ. You cannot read the words of Christ. You must make them your way of life. You must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Make my words your words. They were spoken to lead you into heaven, and they will, if you will do precisely what they tell you to do. Now, some of you may find the time to do this even a bit more thoroughly, and that would be to look up the 23 or 24 statements in the Bible and jot down the chapter and verse next to the statements for easy reference. And you'll find this method will give you a greater insight, because almost every one of the sayings are connected to a situation. And if you know the situation, naturally, you can see the saying in its relation to the situation. To help you out, I can tell you that most of the statements, and probably all of them, are from the Gospel of John, and they're in the chapters from 3 to 8. Now, with this new way of looking at statements by Jesus, I think you can see a new meaning beginning to come into your life. For example, to the Pharisees, the invisible self through Jesus says, "Where I am, you cannot come." Now, when you come to that statement, it's going to look cold to you, and you won't be able to figure it out. Where I am, you cannot come. Well, what hope is there if you cannot come there, see? You're going to look at that statement and say, I can't go there, but, well, what am I going to read it for? What am I going to study it for if I can't go there? But when you read the context, see it in the Bible, it says, Jesus said this to the Pharisees. Where I am, you cannot come. Now you, when you study this statement, You might just as well ignore it if you don't do it correctly. And correctly means that it is a contemplative meditation. You're looking at a code. It doesn't come right out and hit you in the face and say, here's the explanation. You're looking at a code, and it's up to you in this contemplative meditation to decipher the code, and you've had all the clues. For instance, rephrase that statement according to your new understanding. And so you can now say to yourself, I who speak these words is the infinite invisible self that I am. So therefore, where I am means I, the infinite self. Where the infinite self is, you cannot come. He was speaking to Pharisees, to mortal beings. He is saying, where the infinite self is, mortal beings cannot come. Now apply this to yourself. You thought you were a visible mortal being. No visible mortal being can go where the infinite self is. And you will say, well, I'm stuck. No, you're not stuck. Now is the time to look at that statement more closely, because your infinite invisible self is telling you that your mortal being cannot go where your invisible self is. Your invisible self is in heaven. Your mortal being is in this world. You want to make transition. It's telling you your mortal being cannot make transition. Are you going to walk past that statement when it tells you your mortal being cannot make transition? Why would it tell you this? That's the reason for the contemplative meditation. Unless you analyze these words and take them into the silence, you will not find the invisible pathway. That's how men have barred themselves from the kingdom of heaven. And so now we're ready to contemplate. I've made my translation so that I know my mortal self cannot go where my invisible self is. My eyes are closed, and I know my invisible self is in heaven. My mortal self cannot go there. But how can I get there? And then I see there is an answer. I must give up my mortal sense of self. So there's the reason. Because where I am, you cannot come, but you must get to where I am. You must give up the you that cannot get there. And so now I contemplate further. And now the light dawns brighter. I cannot be two selves. I cannot be the spirit and the material self. I cannot be the invisible self and this visible one too. I cannot be immortal and mortal. Which am I? If I am the invisible self, oh my heaven, I don't have a mortal self to give up, do I? I am the immortal self now. I am. I must be in heaven right now, here, this minute. I am the invisible self, and where I am, I must say to the mortal self, you cannot come. And so this divine revelation pours through me because I have taken the time not to ignore the words of Christ. So they lift me, as they will lift you, above human thought. I rest in the Word. I abide in the silence above that thinking human brain. Now my contemplation is over. I'm in the deepness of meditation. Where I am, you cannot come. My mortal selfhood is a lie. It is one too many. It cannot come where I am. And where am I? I am the invisible self. I am everywhere. That mortal self that I call me cannot come everywhere. How can I be everywhere if I am a mortal, finite being? I give up mortality. I give up the sense of being mortal. I am everywhere, the infinite, invisible self. And then, when I have reached the conviction within that this is true, during that day, I practice the knowledge that I have discovered within. In fact, you might get a little card, and when you write the statement out that you worked with, underneath it, write the meaning. 5 days from now, you come back and see if you have followed through on that meaning. Okay? Every Christ saying must be treated the same way, just as carefully. I tell you, this is the doorway to the invisible path of light. It'll take you out of the foolishness of brain cells. It'll take you out of mental matter that never can enter heaven. Out of a human selfhood that is rejecting Christ every single day. Well, we might have time for one more saying. Let's try it. The Father has never left me alone. Now, let's not make this a group of words. This is divine truth. You can depend on it. Now, let's understand it. You look it up in the Bible, and this one is chapter 8, verse 29 of the Gospel of John. Still speaking to the Pharisees, meaning to the human brain. And as you start your contemplation, begin to rephrase according to your new knowledge. It says, the Father has never left me alone. Who is the Father? The Father is the invisible self, your invisible self. Your invisible self can never leave you alone. Right. And so now your invisible self is present where you are. It can never leave you alone. Wherever you go, it will be. So in your mind it reads, my invisible self can never leave me alone. My invisible self is everywhere. I can never be apart from my invisible self, which is God. This I accept. Why? Because this is the word of the Christ saying it. The Christ says it, so you accept it. And because it's the Christ saying it and you're accepting it, you must be willing to live by it. The moment you do accept it, you're under divine law. Now let's take a problem. I don't care what it is, legal, financial, physical, business, domestic. Why is there a problem? In your consciousness somewhere, you are not accepting that the Father has never left you alone. You are not accepting that your invisible self is Christ. And so, you are identifying as another self. You identify as a man, a woman, a physical mortal being. And starting from the wrong place in consciousness as a person, you had to stumble. You were separated in your consciousness from the invisible self, which can never leave you. You left it. Return to identity. I am the invisible self called God, which can never leave me. And you bring everything in your lifespan under the jurisdiction of divine law. Nothing in your life can be separated from your invisible self, your identity, which is the Spirit of God. Now, why does it work? Because it is not a truth, not an opinion of man. It is the truth of God. It is spoken by the Christ. And if you take the time to contemplate it, to learn its meaning, to let it open itself in you, it's your truth. It removes the false sense of self, the apartness which is in the consciousness of man, and you are in Christ consciousness, knowing Christ as your identity, living Christ, trusting Christ as your everywhere Christ self. which has dominion now over the world, and there you rest, because it is the Father within who doeth the works. The minute you have accepted the Father within as identity, it doeth the works. Now this is an invisible pathway, opening the words of Christ within yourself by contemplation with a knowledge that they are spoken by your own invisible self, not by Jesus. And as you get the habit of accepting these words of your own invisible self, which has been put in the Bible, you are opening a doorway to another mansion, which is the way to transition. Otherwise, we ignore the words of God. For all of you who are going to follow this invisible way of contemplation with the words, know that I am going to be with you on your meditations. No specific time, but every morning as you do them, I'll be doing them. I'll be with you every step of the way during the next 23 or 24 days. I'll be sharing with you the joy of your own inner unfolding. And I have here a little announcement about Joel's new book. Title is Living Between Two Worlds. It'll be on the bookstands about March 20th. And if your own local bookstore doesn't have it, you can reserve it with them, or you can write DeVores & Company, D-E-V-O-R-S, 1641-1641, Lincoln Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90404. That's Living Between Two Worlds. Well, dear ones, I think something good is happening. And I like to call this the golden pathway. It's invisible, and it's blocked by another invisible door. And you can't find the invisible door unless you find the invisible sound. But it's all here. And the words of Christ unlock that door to that invisible path, to that transition. Your invisible self spoke the New Testament, enacted the mighty deeds in the New Testament. If you will just work on that enough to understand it, the Bible becomes a vast open book. And it leads you to the Bible of your own heart. There'll be another tape next month. And by that time, each of us should be further into the realization of who we are, so that we can look at each other and know, there I am. Again, much love, much appreciation. We are walking the path of truth, and it will make us free. Thanks so much.